If you have your Bibles, please can I ask you to turn with me to Psalm 102, Psalm 102, looking at verses 25 to 27. Just as a reminder, we're looking at this series called Incomparable, looking at the incommunicable attributes of God from three perspectives. We've already looked at His independence, that He's a God without need. We've seen His infinity, that He's a God without limits. And this morning, as you've heard, we're looking at the immutability of God, which simply means that He's a God without change. And we were reminded of that this morning. I was told that we're going to watch a video of missions in DRC, and someone changed the plan. But we praise God that He is the same. And so let's look at this passage as we consider this attribute of God's incommunicability. Verse 25 of Psalm 102. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Only so far in the reading of God's word, may He reform our lives to its truth. I know we've prayed, but let's pray once more and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank You that we get to be here this morning, that we get to enter into this space to worship You and adore You and sing these wonderful songs of praise to You, because we recognize that You indeed are wonderful. You are great and greatly to be praised. And as we again quiet ourselves before You, as we are still and recognize that You are God and that we are not, we pray that You'd give us understanding, that by Your Spirit You'd illuminate this passage and the scriptures that we look at this morning. And may You cause not just our mouths to sing, but our hearts to rejoice in You, to rest in You as our God. As we think about this particular attribute that is so different to us and so different to our world, help us to find our hope in You through this. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful and glorious name. Amen. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changes not, abide with me. Henry Francis Light wrote that hymn, and he wrote it after visiting a dying friend. 25 years later, 3 weeks before his own death, in his last sermon, he recited this hymn again. And now, why does that matter? Well, dear friends, what I want us to see is that Light recognized something that we would do well to recognize. And that is simply this: the joys and the delights of this life will grow dim. The glories and the achievements of this world will decay. And the strength and the wisdom of man, as great as it seems, will pass away. And realize, if your hope is in these things, if your hope is in these dim and decaying and dying things, then you will know only despair. And realize that's something we sometimes struggle with. Even as Christians, we fall into this. We place our hope in things that change, in things that fall apart, in things that end. And you know what happens when we do that? When we hope in changing things, when we put our confidence in things that shake and fall apart and come to an end, we become restless. We become frustrated. We waver and doubt and stumble and fall like those things. We lose all sense of security and peace. To live upon changing things is to live a treadmill existence, forever striving, forever frustrated, forever unsatisfied. As Stephen Charnock understood this, he said, "We burn with a desire to settle ourselves, but mistake the way and build castles in the air which vanish like bubbles of soap in water." A wonderful picture, right? To trust in changing things, to build your life, your hope on things that fall apart is like building a castle on a bubble. The pop is eventual. And here's what I want us to see this morning. Because we so often place our hope in things that grow dim and decay and die, because we place our confidence in things that change and fall apart and end, we need to be reminded of and put our hope in the God who does not. The God who does not change. We actually see this in our psalm. If you read the context, if you read the whole psalm, but just look at verse 24, the verse before our passage. The psalmist says, "Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days." See, the psalmist is fearful. He's fearful of life being cut short. He recognizes his life is like grass that withers. And where does he find his hope? He finds his hope in God. He cries out to God to save him. But what is it about God that causes him to cry out to God? Listen to what he says. "You whose years endure throughout all generations." You see, the ever-changing creature can only find rest in the unchanging Creator. Ever restless sinners can only find security in an unchanging Savior. And what Henry Francis Light recognized is that hope can only be found in the God who is immutable, the God who changes not. And so as we consider this attribute, let's walk through our three perspectives again and look at it. Let's first look at the theological perspective. What does it mean when we say that God is immutable? Well, when we say that, we're saying more than just the fact that he's unchangeable. It's that, but it's also more. We're also saying that God is perfect, that he is pure stability. He is not a God who becomes. He's not a God who gets better or worse. No, he is a God who is and will always be who he is. The Swiss reformer Johannes Volibius puts it this way: the immutable life of God is absolutely perfect and absolutely blessed. That's what God is, perfect, and therefore he doesn't need to change. Remember, this is exactly what God revealed of himself when he gave us his name. Exodus 3:14, God says of himself, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." You see, God is who he is. He is a perfect God without need, and therefore he's a perfect God without change. And that's exactly what our passage points us to. Verse 27, "You are the same." God is everlastingly and perpetually the same. No change, no variation, no alteration. Now, as we've done before, let's look at this attribute and look at its nature. I want you to see in the first place that God is immutable in his perfections. That is, in all that God is, in his being, in his nature, in his character, in all those things, he is unchangeable. And this is so forcefully stated in our passage. Look at it again. Psalm 102, 25. "Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, but you change them like a robe, and they pass away. but you are the same and your years have no end. And now we mustn't walk too quickly from the impact of that verse. Let's think about that for a second. We all have things, don't we, that cause us to worry. Almost every morning, most of us wake up with real concerns. We worry about family and work and finances, plans, relationship, our health. There is so much to worry about. But tell me, when you woke up this week, did you worry about the earth being underneath you? No, we all assume it's there. We assume that the earth will be there one day to the next. We assume constancy and stability of the earth beneath us. And what the psalmist is saying is this: the earth which we assume is stable and steadfast and constant is like a garment in comparison to God. The thing which from our perspective is the most unchangeable thing in the world is actually a flimsy garment when compared to the God who is always the same. The heavens and the earth and all of creation will change, yet there is a God who does not change. No increase, no decrease, no addition. See, the God who created all this is himself unchangeable. Did you see the impact of this verse? And we have many other verses that give us an example of this. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." See, God's covenant faithfulness is rooted and based on who he is, his immutable character. If God changes, then his people are in trouble. But as it is, there is hope because he doesn't. Or James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." See, James is saying that there is no fluctuation in God's character. Unlike man, unlike creation, God's character is pure, it's constant, it is absolutely consistent, which is good news for us because it means that God is unchangeable in all his attributes: his might, his holiness, his wisdom, his justice, his truth, his goodness, his mercy, his love are all, like himself, unchangeable, steadfast. Also, secondly, note that God is immutable, not just in his perfections, but his plans. In Psalm 102, this comes out especially clear in verse 11 to 13. Listen to what it says: "My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." And then the psalmist says, "But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor. The appointed time has come." See, the psalmist recognizes that he is weary and weak, and therefore he trusts in his covenant God to fulfill his unfolding and unchanging plans. See, there's an appointed time because there's an appointed plan. And that plan is like God himself, unchangeable. Or consider other passages that speak to this. Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans of the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Psalm 33:10-11. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Or Isaiah 25:1. "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure." See, God's plans are like himself, unchangeable, undeniable, unshakable, because he is immutable. Thirdly, I want you to see then also that God is immutable in his promises. In the psalm, there's a whole bunch of promises. Here's two that the psalmist points to. Verse 17, he regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. See, that's a promise that God is attentive, that he hears our prayers, that his prayers or his ears are awakened to the prayers of the weak and the destitute. Or verse 28, the children of your servants shall dwell secure, their offspring shall be established before you. Another promise that God will keep his people, that he will establish them and hold them and bless them. Now ask yourself, how could anyone trust God's promises if he changes? How could we rest in his word if it differs one day to the next? Well, you couldn't. If God changes, so do his promises, and therefore his promises give no assurance. They offer no strength, no hope, no comfort. Yet, dear friends, we can rest assured because God's promises are like himself. They are immutable. That's why when God makes a promise, he swears by himself. Hebrews 6:16-18, the NET says this, "For people swear by something greater than themselves, and the oath serves as a confirmation to all in dispute. In the same way, God wanted to demonstrate more clearly to the heirs of the promise that his purpose was unchangeable. And so, he intervened with an oath so that we who have found refuge in him may have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us through two unchangeable things, since it is impossible for God to lie." What is the hope set before us? What is the anchor of our soul, as the next verse says? It's simply the fact that God is true to himself. It's the fact that God keeps his word, that he does not lie. Because he is a God who is immutable. He's a God who does not change. And therefore, his words, his promises do not change. And because of this, we can say with Isaiah, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever." And see, dear friends, all in all, I want you to see, I want you to know, I want you to remember that if you want hope, if you want security, if you want an anchor for your soul, then look to the God who's unchangeable. Look to the one who is immutable in his perfections, in his plans, and his promises. Listen to the Puritan Samuel Willard. He puts it this way: "Live upon this attribute." There's pastoral advice right there. Live. Don't just know this attribute. Live upon it. It is enough to keep your spirit and strengthen you with patience to run that weary and difficult race before you. It is true. You meet with many changes among creatures. Yes, there is nothing here but what is changeable. You are tossed up and down from one change to another. Yet faint not, nor be weary. Why? For in all these you have an unchangeable God to stand by you. Oh, dear friends, what comfort, what hope that offers. This is an attribute to live upon, to trust in. And now before we move on to the next perspective, we need to do well to recognize that God's immutability, however, doesn't mean that he's this cold, abstract statue, this unmovable and uncaring statue. And why is that? Well, because in the Bible we have passages that seem to imply that God does in fact change. You probably would have thought of some of them by now. We have passages like Genesis 6:6, where it's said that God regrets making man. Or we have passages like Jonah 3:10, where God is said to relent from disaster. He changes his mind. Now, do these passages and other passages teach us that God does change, as some wrongly believe? Well, no, they don't teach that. What they really teach us is that God is a relational being. He's a God who enters into relationship, who enters into covenant with changeable beings. Listen to Herman Bavinck on this. It's a bit technical, but try and follow along. The immutability, however, should not be confused with monotonous sameness or rigid immobility. Scripture itself leads us in describing God in the most manifold relations to all his creatures. While immutable in himself, he nevertheless, as it were, lives the life of his creatures and participates in all their changing states. What he's saying is simply this: God is not this lifeless, immobile, uncaring statue. No, he's a personal God who relates to his creatures, who accommodates himself for their sake. You see, Genesis 6 and Jonah 3 are what theologians have called divine accommodation. Divine accommodation is where God, in ways we can understand, reveals aspects of who he is. And so what are we learning in Genesis 6? Well, we learn that God is unchangeably holy. Why? Because he's displeased by sin. We learn in Jonah 3 that God is unchangeably loving, because even when people repent, he shows mercy. So you see, all of those things are meant to point out to us that he's relational. That he doesn't change who he is, but he relates to people who are changeable. The point to get is simply this: our immutable and unchanging God is not immovable or uncaring. We don't have a relationship with the statue. No, but we have one with our God, because he's a personal God who relates to his own. And the greatest evidence of this, the greatest evidence of divine accommodation, dear friends, is Jesus. Which leads me to the second point I want you to see this morning, the second perspective, the devotional perspective. How does the immutability of God apply to us in Christ? Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, which takes our passage and applies it directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen from verse 8 onwards. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You roll them up like a garment. They will be changed. But you are the same. Your years will have no end. Again, we're here confronted with the undeniable divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're confronted with the mystery of the incarnation. On the one hand, he's truly man, right? He experienced all the changes of being man. He was born. He grew in wisdom and in stature. He became a perfect man. And yet, on the other hand, Jesus is truly God, because he's the same God of Psalm 102. The God who is the same, the God who remains forever who he is. Listen to Mark Jones as he tries to explain this. He says, in Christ we behold one who is both unchangeable and changeable. In short, the unchangeable Son of God took on changeable humanity, our immutability, in order that we mutable humans might enter into a state of immutability. Did you hear that? Did you hear the gospel in that? The immutable took on mutability so that the mutable will enter immutability. Very philosophical. Here's the easy way to understand it. The unchanging God, who dwelt in unshakable glory and security in heaven, stepped down into our world. He stepped down into shifting, fragile, breaking world, a breaking world. He entered into a dim, decaying, and dying world. He entered a world that changes, that falls apart, that dies, that ends. He experienced and embraced and endured every unsettling change that overwhelms us. Think about it, from the heights of laughter to the depths of grief. From the strength that carried the gospel to Galilee and Jerusalem to the weakness of suffering on the cross. From speaking life to the dead at the tomb of Lazarus to the silence of death in a borrowed tomb. See, friends, in Jesus, the unchanging God, lived a life that knew what it meant to weep, that knew what it meant to be, to struggle, to die. And he did that so that in him we would come to know unshakable security. So that in him we would know and rest in one who is unchangeable. Our minds, again, cannot make sense of this. Cannot make sense how God can take on changeability. But dear friends, our heart should rest in this. Far from being a hindrance to the faith, this is actually tremendous help to our faith. Listen again to Charnock. He says this, the fear of change in a friend hinders a full reliance upon him. An assurance of stability, however, encourages hope and confidence. This attribute is the strongest prop for faith. See, because Jesus is immutable, we have a sure and confident hope in him. He's not a Savior who saves one day and loses us the next. No, he will not allow anyone to snatch us out of his hand, John 10:28. He will finish what he starts, Philippians 1:6. He is unchangeably the same in his person and in his work. Hebrews 13:8 is so clear. In no uncertain terms, it reminds us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And so, dear friends, we place our faith in no other. We don't depend on the faltering strength of our works. We don't trust in the fluctuating waves of our emotions and our feelings. We don't rely upon our fleeting riches or accomplishments. We don't listen to the failing wisdom of this world. No. Our hope is in one who changes not, one who is immutable. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the same today, yesterday, and forever. What does that old hymn say? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. The author, Lloyd Douglas, tells a story of an elderly friend that he had during his university years. He lived in a boarding house, a few stories, and on the first story, there was this retired music teacher who was very elderly, very weary, couldn't leave his apartment. But Douglas made friends with this man, and one morning he went to this man and asked him, what's the good news? And the old man would pick up his tuning fork and tap it on the side of his wheelchair and say, that's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It'll be middle C tomorrow. It'll be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C. Did you see that old man discovered one thing upon which he could depend? In all his weariness, in all his decaying of his body, he found one constant reality in life, one still point in a changing world. And if you're a Christian here this morning, your hope, your one still point in a changing world isn't a fork. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one who is absolute, unchanging, without shadow or variation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our middle sea. He's the middle sea that gives us security, stability, and safety in a changing world. And so, dear friend, when your soul is unsettled by despair, when your heart is shattered by your disappointments, when your strength is weakened by difficulties, when your life is overwhelmed by danger, our middle sea isn't. He isn't overwhelmed. He isn't unsettled. He isn't shattered. He isn't weak. No, he's the same. He was the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he'll be the same forever. I've made a habit in my devotional life. I don't do it too perfectly, but I try and always be in the Gospels. I try and read Jesus. I want to explicitly see him every day. I want to live and learn from him. But can I tell you what I need and perhaps what you need? When I read of Jesus, I need to remind myself that he's the same today. When I see how he befriends sinners, when I see how he cares for the sick and the burdened, when I see how he reaches and touches the downcast and the forgotten, when I see how he strengthens the weak, I need to be reminded, and so do you, that he hasn't changed. He's still like that now. He still now cares, and we can cast our burdens on him because he still cares. I listened to Tim Chester in his book on enjoying Jesus. He speaks of Jesus' immutability like this. This means the Jesus of yesterday that you read about in the Gospels is the Jesus of today who cares for you right now. And that Jesus is the Jesus of tomorrow. Whatever tomorrow might bring, right now, Jesus cares for you just as he cared for the people in the Gospels. Friends, I need to hear that, and perhaps so do you this morning. He is still the same. He still cares. He still reaches out to you. He still invites you to himself to find rest, to find security in him. Finally, let's wrap up by looking at the missional perspective this morning. Three things I want you to see from the missional perspective. The immutability of God should lead us to greater comfort. See, in a world that's filled with frantic people and fearful people, this truth causes us to have comfort and peace because our God is unchangeable. There would be no comfort for us, no peace, if he changed like a chameleon. If he is one way one day and the other the next. And we've experienced that in people, haven't we? Maybe a boss made certain promises to you, but he changed his mind. Maybe a friend who you once trusted changes and turns on you. Or maybe a church member once was faithful, but over time they change and disappear. Maybe a relationship that was healthy changes and becomes poisonous. Maybe a husband or wife whom you love changes and betrays you. You see, we are fickle, feeble, fluctuating people. One day we say this, the next we do that. And our comfort is this, that's not true of our God. He won't drop his people. He won't disappoint. He won't change because he's the same. And therefore, unlike those around us, unlike those who are frantic and fearful, we have comfort. Comfort that sets us apart in this world. A.W. Pink says it this way, here is a solid comfort. Human nature cannot be relied upon, but God can. However unstable I may be, however fickle my friends may prove, God changes not. See, there's tremendous comfort in this truth. Consider one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. That's what our life sometimes feels like. Mountains get moved. Things we trusted in are gone. But notice where it says, but my steadfast love shall not depart, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. What comfort there is then in the God that does not change. But secondly, the immutability of God also leads us to not just find great comfort, but also greater warnings. See, on the one hand, God's immutability offers great comfort, but it offers a sharp warning. How so? If you despise God, if you disobey His word, then you must not think that all of a sudden He will change. God has been clear from the start who He is. He is equally loving and equally holy. At the cross, we see both, right? We see how at the cross He in love gives His Son to pay the just penalty of His holy law. And dear friends, if you despise His love to you, if you deny the offer of love that He gives you in Jesus, then the only thing waiting for you is His holiness, and His holiness that burns against sin. See, on that day of judgment when He returns, God will not change who He is. Consider this passage from Paul, 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Now, we often read that to say that if we are faithless, He remains faithful. And that's, in a sense, true. But realize that's the opposite of what this passage means. Ask yourself, who is He faithful to in this passage? He's faithful to Himself. He cannot deny Himself. And here's the implication. If you continue in your unbelief, if you carry on in faithlessness, if you march furiously against God in your sin, know this, God will not change. He will not deny Himself. He will respond to you the same way He's always responded to unrepented sin, and that is with His holy wrath. And so, dear friend, dear hypocrite, dear unbeliever, dear nominal Christian, do not presume upon God thinking that He will change. They will stop being holy and righteous and just. No, while you have the grace of each breath, run from all your presumptuous sins and turn and believe upon Him. While a great comfort is given us in His immutability, it offers us the stark warning. Do not presume upon this God. It should lead us to be a people of holiness, a people of honesty, a people of integrity, a people who do not live in presumptuous, hypocritical sin. Thirdly and finally, the immutability of God should lead us to greater faithfulness. Now, while the immutability of God is an incommunicable attribute, it should inspire us. It should inspire faithfulness on our part. Shouldn't we strive to be steadfast and faithful as He is steadfast and faithful? Again, Thomas Adams, a Puritan, said it this way: the God of constancy would have His own be constant. And we see this in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 28. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In other words, strive to be unchangeable and immutable in your service of God. Or Hebrews 10:25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That is, be unchangeable in your devotion to God. Why? For He who promised is faithful. Be immovable, be unshakable, be steadfast, be faithful, because that's who He is. But remember, as we strive to be faithful, we do so not to save ourselves by our faithfulness, as some teach. No. We do so because we've already been saved. Listen to Colossians 1, 21 to 23. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. That's what He has done. And what's the result? If indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. You see, our faithfulness, our steadfastness flows out of the God who's proven faithful and steadfast. We strive for greater faithfulness to God because in saving us, in redeeming us, in keeping us, He has been faithful. And realize, this is the only way we get through this life. This is the only way we survive the chaos of this world. This is the only way we keep our hope alive. When things change and fall apart and end, this is how we keep going. We stay close to the one who is faithful. We set our hope in the God who does not change. That's what Henry Francis Light came to learn. And dear friends, that's what we need to learn. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. Change and decay all around I see. But God, how do I survive? O thou that changest not, abide with me. May that be true of us in this changing world as we set our eyes upon the one who does not change. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And above all, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that in light of our fleeting nature, our falling nature, our sinful nature, the fact that we could not have kept faith with you but turned from you, that you proved faithful to yourself, that you proved unchangeable in your character, in your promises, in your word. And we have great evidence of this in the gospel, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to behold all that you have done to save us, and help us in the midst of all our change to rely upon you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this promise. Would you help us this morning to live by this attribute in faith and faithfulness, in love to you, for your glory we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.